It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmelt.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. Still all quiet on the Giants front. Nothing much new to report in terms of that offensive coordinator search. Ben McAdoo, according to reports, in the building yesterday to interview for that offensive coordinator job with head coach Tom Coughlin. Obviously comes from a very successful system in Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, was a tight ends coach over there, then became the quarterbacks coach. And I like trying to integrate a new system like that with what Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning likes to do. And I think that'll provide a nice little change for the Giants moving forward, a good adjustment from what they used to do without a complete sea change that really, I think, can help get this offense back on track, which is really what this offseason is all about for the Giants as they embark upon it. Free agency obviously starts the second week of March. Up until then, the Giants will have the opportunity to scan the market. They'll have the combine between now and then to have a better idea of what they're going to have available to them when they select in the middle of that first round. They should be able to get a very good player and a starter in the first round of the draft. You might even be able to find a starter on round two of the draft, and you hope in round three you get somebody that'll contribute early and then become a starter down the road. So a lot of work to do for the Giants. Obviously the offensive line, running back, wide receiver, tight end on offense, everything but the quarterback at this point. And on defense, to me, it's more re-signing the guys that are free agents then bringing in new faces, except perhaps a new linebacker and a new cornerback. Those might be things you have to look at, whether it's in the draft or in free agency. But first, they got to get this coaching situation sorted out. They've interviewed four candidates. No news if there's going to be a fifth. We'll keep you updated right here on Giants.com. But let's go to our phones at 201-939-4513. I'm going solo this morning, so call up, join the conversation. Little two-way New York Giants and NFL talk. Let's go to Aaron in Baltimore to start. Aaron, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how you doing, John? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, buddy?
Very good. I just wanted to comment on the new offensive coordinator.
Sure.
I like what I saw with the Denver Broncos and the Patriots, how they run their offense. Is there any possibility we can get maybe somebody, or the Giants are waiting to get somebody from the Broncos or Patriots offensive coaching tree? We know we can't get Josh McDaniels because he's not going to leave one OC position to come to another, but maybe we can get quarterbacks coach to bring some of those concepts over, because I like the way Manning and Brady get the ball out their hands. They have a great screen game, and I just feel like Eli would benefit from that type of offense or that type of concept that those guys both have. And I'll hang up on what you have to say.
Yeah, the problem you have, and thanks a lot for the call, Aaron, I appreciate it. The problem you have with the Patriots offensive system and offensive coaching staff is that Josh McDaniels is both their quarterback's coach and their offensive coordinator. So you'd have to dig deeper into that group to find a head coaching candidate. Dante Scarnecchia, who's an offensive line coach and assistant head coach, is a little longer in the tooth. I don't think he's a guy you would look to be your head coach. And then you look at the rest of the guys on their staff, and it's like really a bunch of guys that I'm not sure are really right for being a head coach at this point in their careers. I don't think they have enough experience. I don't think they're to the point where you can trust them with that type of responsibility. And I'll take a look at the Broncos coaching staff in just a second. But I do like where you're coming from, in that you want to take guys off successful systems. And we spoke about this as when this process began. And you take a look at the Saints system, which worked really well. You take a look at the Packers system, which has worked extremely, extremely well. And I think those are things you you look at and you figure out, well, maybe you can integrate that into what you do. And I think the Broncos and Patriots are two other really good examples. Greg Knapp is their quarterback's coach. He's a guy that has in the past gotten some consideration. He's been all over the place as a pro coach in terms of being a quarterback coach. I mean, I'm not sure you want Greg Knapp to be your head coach, though. I'm not sure that's a guy that you think would really fit in that. Let's see, who else do we have here? Anybody else on this group that really looks like they could be? A lot of younger guys. I just don't think anybody has the experience where they could be a head coach, to be quite honest with you. I mean, their offensive coordinator obviously is Mike McCoy, so he's not somebody that's obviously going to leave considering he's their head coach and offensive coordinator at the same time. So I don't think either one of those coaching staffs really have a name on them, unless you get excited about Greg Knapp, where you say this guy could be the next head coach for somebody. I just don't see it. But that's why I think someone like McAdoo, who actually is interviewed for a head coaching position already as a quarterback's coach, I think that would be a perfect fit for the Giants' offensive coordinator position. I really do. I think it's a really good fit. You know that system can run the football as well. We saw Eddie Lacy this year, what he could do. We've seen Ryan Grant in the past when he's the number one running back for them, what he can do. And I think it's a really, really good fit. Considering all the guys they've brought in, I love Mike Sullivan to death. The guy's a good coach. He's a good guy. I just think the Giants could use a little bit of a bigger injection of new ideas, and that's why I like the idea of McAdoo. 201-939-4513. Robert's in New Jersey. Robert, good morning. Robert, you there, pal? Put him back on hold, Danny. I'll go back to Robert in a second. Let's stick on our phones and go to Antoine in Atlanta, Georgia. Antoine, good morning.
Oh, okay. Hey, I have three questions. My first question is, do you think the Giants will pick up a pass rusher / defensive end via free agency or draft?
Well, do you count Justin Tucker's picking up a defensive end via free agency or no?
I mean, me personally, I think Justin Tucker will be back.
I think if the Giants bring Justin Tuck back, I don't think you're going to see another defensive end or defensive tackle for that matter brought back in free agency. Mike Patterson might get re-signed, maybe even Sean Rogers, who knows. But I don't think they'll go out there and spend big on another player, mostly because I think that they believe DeMontre Moore next year can develop into somebody they can use as a situational pass rusher. They can move Colin Jenkins out to defensive end if they have to. They like Marcus Kuhn coming off an injury. So I think they like what they have on the defensive line. And if they bring Tuck back, I think they're going to stick with what they had last year, more or less.
Okay. My second question is, do you think Will Hill could be a Pro Bowl safety?
If he keeps his head out of trouble, to be quite honest with you. I mean, if he can stay out of trouble, Will Hall has the talent to be a Pro Bowl caliber safety. He's not afraid to support in the run game. He's shown some pretty decent instincts playing that deep safety spot. I think he has what it takes if he stays out of trouble, continues to mature, and he's a good kid. You talk to him in the locker room, and he's a smart kid. He's not a dummy. The kid is a good, nice kid that you can tell is just struggling to get out of the type of stuff that he grew up around. And if he can do that, I think he can be a player in this league and will get Pro Bowl consideration down the road.
Okay. My last question is, do you think Eli Manning will get a contract extension this offseason or restructure his contract?
Well, since there's only 2 years left, the only really restructure you can do is if he gets a contract extension. It's really hard to restructure a contract when there's only 2 years left, because you really can't move money back because there's only 2 years left on the deal. So here's what I think. The Giants have a lot of cap space. They'll see what they do with their money. They'll spend the money that they have. I think they will extend on Chiroldo for even more money. So you have between $25-30 million in that range. Then they'll see what they have. They'll see what the roster looks like. They'll see what players are left that are available. If they find the guy that they believe can be a game-changing type of player that they think will come at a fair price. Look, it's going to be a little inflated because it's free agency. That's how it works. But they see a guy there that they really want, that they think can help the team, and to have the money to do it, you have to extend Eli Manning. I think that's when the Giants consider it. I don't think they go out and do that right away. I think that's a down the road. If they see that they need the money, that's when they'll do it. Because remember, when you restructure a contract, Antoine, the money doesn't disappear. The money just gets moved around. So you're eventually going to have to pay the piper on Eli. That's just going to happen. So whether it's today or it's tomorrow, the Giants will have to pay him that money, and it will count against the cap at some point, whether it's spread over a number of years or in a lump sum payment. So, again, I don't think it'll happen right away, but it's definitely an option if the Giants think they need the money to sign other players.
Oh, okay. Thanks for answering my questions.
Thanks, Antoine. Dan Salamone had a great line. He's one of our call screeners and one of our good writers, great writers on Giants.com. And he called Antoine the caller genie. He always comes in with three questions. It's like granting three wishes. I like it. And always good questions, too. Good call, Antoine. Good to hear from you as always. 201-939-4513. Let's try Robert in New Jersey again. Robert, you back yet, buddy? Robert. All right, let's go put him back on hold. I'll try him again in a second. Let's stick on our phones. Wow! He's back out of hiding. I haven't heard from this guy since, I think, the bye week. Maybe he's come out of his hole. He shakes in Baltimore, Maryland. Oh, my God, he's back.
What's up, man?
What's up, Shakes? What's going on?
Not much, man. Enjoying this playoffs, you know. I've been telling everybody I've been the Scrooge of the playoffs. I ain't want nobody team to win. Everybody around me, they've been rooting for teams. I've been rooting against them. And I've been winning, too. But, Giants football, man. Giants football. This was a disappointing season. I couldn't even call in like that because of the way the season went. But I'm optimistic that this year will be the year. The only thing I have a problem with, okay, Gilbride retired, but I know he's going to get fired even if he didn't retire. So, but...
well, Shakes, in fairness, Shakes, just on the Gilbride thing, he retired, and quite honestly, this is how I understand that it went down. He retired, and this is what John Mara said, he was on with Mike Francesa last week. He retired before the Giants had come to a decision on whether or not they would fire him. So that was under consideration, I'm sure, but he did retire before that decision was made, just so you know how it went down.
I mean, he's seen the writings on the wall. Come on. it was time. And I think it's time for Field to go, too. I just Curry Field is not as aggressive as I would like.
And the Giants defense had a good year, though, Shakes. The Giants defense had a good year.
It had a good year because of Beeson came. Before that, we were terrible. Did you see the scores?
No, that's fair. That's fair.
So we got to bring back Beeson, of course. Got to bring back Beeson. And that was one of the main reasons why I stopped calling it, too. Because y'all start making fun of me talking about that I said he had a sex and all that other stuff.
What are you talking about?
What was going on. It was the last time I called, and I was saying that he was heaven sent.
Oh, heaven
and y'all
sent.
Was saying, yeah. And y'all were saying that I was saying having sex or something.
Well, that's because it was hard to understand what you were saying, Jakes. We're just kidding
around.
It's all in good fun, bro.
I took that to heart. I was like, you know what? That's it. I'm not calling no more. Sorry, no, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. But, yeah, in all seriousness, we got to restructure that O-line. That's the main priority, and we got to bring back Beeson. I don't like that we're bringing back Fuel. Because I think we need a more aggressive coach. Matter of fact, I would like to bring back Spags. I really do. I want Spags back. But, hey, they like Fuel. I think it's because Washington was interested in him, and they don't want nobody else having him. I don't know. That's how Giants work.
Well, honestly, Chase, I think the truth be told, you could have made an argument after the prior two seasons based on the defense's performance that you can make a change of defensive coordinator, though obviously you're not going to do something after you win the Super Bowl. But it's hard to make the argument when the defense jumps into the top 10 to fire the defensive coordinator. It's a very hard argument to make.
Yeah, well, then Phil needs to thank Beeson a whole lot for saving his job, because before that, we looked terrible.
Well, Chase, what do I always say? Coaches cannot coach without players. You need players.
You're right. And we and see, that's another thing I've been saying from, what, last offseason, that we needed them linebackers, and we needed it. We needed that linebacker, and Beeson showed it clear as day. We needed that linebacker, and we poop-pooped on it, like, oh, okay, well, we just like to choose linebackers and use free safeties. And you know I hated that. You know I hated that package. Gosh, man, y'all don't listen, man. I hope this offseason y'all listen to your boy, and we're going to have a great season next year, and I can be happy, and I'll be calling in every day next year.
Shakes, I want to hear from you the rest of the offseason, all right, buddy?
Yeah, you'll hear from me.
All right, man, be good.
All right, take care.
Shakes is back! Oh, that made my morning. Made my morning. That's great. And he called without Lance here, so I can get on Lance about that. Nah, take that, Meadow. 201-939-4513. Tim's in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, what's up? Tim, go ahead, buddy. All right, we're going to put Tim on hold, see if we can get back to him in just a second. Let's go to Bruce up in Poughkeepsie, New York. What is he on? Line two. There you go. Bruce, what's going on, man?
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bruce. What's up with you?
Good. Hey, listen, Brandon Albert's becoming a free agent from Kansas City. What's the possibility of maybe moving Beatty and picking up somebody like Brandon Albert? And also, John, what do you think is the problem? Is the problem the communication between the offensive coordinator and Eli in getting the plays in so late, which caused so many delay of games?
You know, I wish I could put a finger on that answer for you. I really do. And look, Coughlin's been asked a question. Eli's been asked a question. Kevin Gilbride has been asked a question. And we never get a good answer, frankly, as to why it's happening. So my guess is that probably means that it's a little bit of everything, that Eli maybe is a little slow on relaying it. But to me, it must be taking too long to get the decision from the booth to the sideline to the quarterback through Tom Coughlin and getting that play in. I guess those decisions just have not been made quick enough on the sidelines, and now maybe next year with a new play caller, maybe if that speeds up, we'll see that the reason sometimes they were so slow in getting the call in was because of Kevin Gilbride. But until we see what happens next year, I'm not sure there's any way to know that for sure.
Yeah, that became an issue. And it has been an issue over the last couple of years, it seems. And then you look at other quarterbacks, even like Peyton. Peyton seems to go in with a couple of plays and always has about 10 seconds left on the clock as he's sitting there rearranging the line or the play for the defense. So it'd be good if the next OC could try to do something like that and give Eli maybe a little bit more leeway, because these delay of game penalties were just frustrating.
No, I agree. And then, you know, you look at Peyton last week. He's up there ready to snap the ball with 12 seconds. He can do all this stuff, and he drew 5 offsides penalties because he has the time to do things like that. And you're right, Eli simply doesn't have the time before the snap to do it. And the other issue you run into, Bruce, is that when the clock's down to 1 second, you know what? The defensive line knows you have to snap it on the next beat,
right?
So they're going to get off the ball that much quicker, and that's going to make it tougher on your offensive linemen.
Right. It leaves him no time to change a play if he has to.
Agreed.
So, but what do you think about Brandon Albert?
Oh, that's right. Brandon Albert. I think it's a guy the Giants will look at. I think Michael Orr is also a guy they'll look at. And maybe,
really?
Since he can play both right tackle and left tackle, that might be a little bit more interesting. That way you have some flexibility in terms of Will Beatty. If you don't want to move him to the right side and keep him on the left side, you can do one or the other based on how he recovers from that bad leg injury. So I think if there's a place the Giants are going to make a big splash in free agency, I think it's going to be on a stud offensive lineman. Now, in my opinion, I would go and spend on a top center, because to me, the strength of your offensive line needs to be on the edge, and then it needs to be in the middle. I want an excellent center, and I want 2 good tackles. And I think once you have those in place, your guards have to be good, but they don't have to be all-pro, all-NFL type of guard. So I think you look at a guy like Alex Mack, the center for the Browns,
yep.
who's one of the best centers
yeah.
in the league.
And
frankly,
I heard his name come up. What's the status of Bass's contract? Is he done?
David Bass has 1 year left on his deal, but has had a ton of money. So if he comes back, it'll be at a much smaller number, or the Giants will decide to move on. But that would end in a very big cap hit both this year and next year if they do. And the other good thing about Alex Mack, Bruce, is that centers generally come, even the top ones, a lot cheaper than even your above-average offensive tackles. It's just those outside guys are at a premium and people pay for it.
Great. Thanks, John.
Hey, thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. And, of course, I'm just throwing out Orr's name because he's one of the top tackles out there, and he does play both sides. So, to me, considering they have Pugh, they have Beattie. By the way, Pugh played left tackle in college, so I'm not saying that's where the Giants envision him ending up. But down the road, that is an option. He's comfortable on that side. He's shown he can play tackle. Most scouts think he can play guard, too. So that does give the Giants some flexibility. To me, they need to get the best lineman possible. I don't care where he plays. Whether it's the first round of the draft, I want the best player possible. I don't care where he plays. I want a starter that's a difference maker. When you go get an offensive lineman in free agency, get me the best guy you can get. And then you work around that. You plan after you get your best guy. And if that's a right tackle, great. If it's a left tackle, great. If it's a center, fine. Just get the best guy at the best value. That's what I want. That's how you put the best players on the field all at the same time, and that's how you win games. Because I know people want to pull the parachute on Will Beattie here, but you can't. He just signed the big contract a season ago. You can't cut him this year. The cap hit would be astronomical. It would cripple your entire team. You can't do it. If he has another terrible year next year, then you can start thinking about doing it in 2015. Then it becomes much more feasible if you make him a post-June 1st cut in that 2015 offseason. That, I believe, if my man at NYG Cap Central reminded me a couple weeks ago, I believe that's something they could do. But until then, you're committed to Will Beattie. He's playing next year, assuming he's healthy. And you hope he can come back from that broken leg. 201-939-4513. Let's try Tim in Jackson, New Jersey once again. Tim, what's going on?
Nothing. I got a question. Will the Giants hire Ben McAdoo as their new offensive coordinator to replace Kevin Gilbride, who retired on January 2nd?
You know what, Tim? I think he's in the mix. And to me, if I had to pick out the favorites, and thanks a lot for the call, and this is simply my opinion. I'm not giving you any inside information. As long as I'm saying you're talking to, you know, John Mara and Jerry Reese on a daily basis, and they're spilling to me all their secrets. But in my opinion, the Giants can go one of two ways here. You stick with the same thing. You go with continuity, someone Eli knows, hoping that can get him back to the success the team had in 2011. That's one strategy. And if they do that, the obvious answer is Mike Sullivan. The other answer is you bring somebody in to do something a little bit different. To bring in a new system to combine it with what Tom Coughlin likes to do. So, is that Carl Durrell? Maybe. You know, he runs that and is familiar with that Mike Shanahan style zone run scheme, and they had a pretty successful offense in Houston. So, would I consider him? Sure. I think he's an option. I think a better option is McAdoo. Out of all the guys they brought in, McAdoo to me is the guy from the best system with the best quarterback that I think can really work well with Eli Manning. What's the best thing about Aaron Rodgers? Hate the Packers if you want. I know a lot of you do. But Rodgers doesn't turn the ball over. They protect the football in Green Bay. And we're not talking about a conservative offense either. We're talking about a guy that threw for 5,000 yards and threw less than 10 interceptions. He had the most impressive, and you know what? I think it was more impressive than Manning's season even this year. A few years ago when Rodgers had that 50-touchdown, what was it, 6-interception year, 8-interception year or something like that? It was ridiculous. I would love to have the quarterback coach that worked with Aaron Rodgers to make that happen come here and work with Eli Manning as an offensive coordinator and tweak some of the stuff he already knows and does to make him better. That's what I want. And I in my opinion, just because of his success in the league, I think the Titans quarterbacks coach is probably, or offensive coordinator, excuse me, is probably that got fired with Munchak is probably the least likely at this point. Again, just my opinion. I don't know anything. He could get hired tomorrow and I'd look like a fool. But that's, in my opinion, the directions that they could go. 201-939-4513. Len is in Columbia, Maryland. Len, how was your weekend?
Hey, John. It was good. It was good. Watched a lot of football.
Excellent.
And in Shakes' honor, oh, my gosh, how many good linebackers did we see this on Saturday and Sunday? Oh, my God, they're coming. The linebacker play was unbelievable. And I said it earlier in the season, for one team, the 49ers, to have that many good linebackers, it just ought to be illegal. I wish we could have a couple of those hotshot linebackers on our team.
Well, dude, and Len, how about this? How about Bobby Wagner for the Seahawks? A second round pick last year.
Oh.
Giants could have had him in the second round if they wanted him. He was sitting there ripe for the picking.
Wagner, that rookie from Mississippi State for the Patriots, Collins.
Yep, he's playing good football too.
And Ahmad Brooks, who arguably could be the fourth best linebacker on the 49ers. How'd you like to have those three guys starting next year?
No, you know what? Ahmad Brooks is the fourth best starting linebacker on the Giants, on the 49ers, which is pretty scary.
Yeah, pretty scary. Pretty scary. Yeah, I tell you that. The 49er linebacking crew really ought to be illegal in the NFL.
Hey, Len, look, we talked about it yesterday, and I got a lot of tweets from people over the weekend asking me, well, why can't the Giants be consistent like the 49ers? And my answer was simple. Their front five on offense and their front seven on defense, both are top three units in football. And when you're consistent that way up front, guess what? You're going to win a lot of football games. That's how it goes.
You're going to win a lot of football games. I don't care who the opposition is.
Yep.
You're going to win a lot of football games. Listen, on the offensive coordinator, John, I don't see it changing much. We're not going to remake Eli at this point. It's all about Eli, protecting Eli in his 5-7-step drops, a nice pocket around him that he can throw out of. I mean, we're not going to integrate sprint outs, 3-step drops. We saw what happened this year with that West Coast offense. Look. That's what we need, running backs who block. It's all about protecting Eli. So I think the system has got to be the same. Or, John, and I hate to put it in these terms because I definitely don't want to see this happen. You know, a $20 million cap hit and a $15 million salary for a guy you're trying to remake and have him do things that just don't play to his strength is silly. I mean, it's ridiculous. Go get another quarterback if you're going to do that. So, and I'm saying this positively, it's likely to be more of the same, which is the goal then becomes surround Eli with some quality people, offensive line, running back, wide receivers, et cetera.
Well, and Len, that's something Kevin Gilbride said in his postseason interview where he said, look, you're proven that if you put the right pieces around this guy, you can win with him. And I think you're right.
Yeah.
If you're going to have all this money invested in your starting quarterback, you have to put him in the best position to win. Otherwise, you're wasting those resources.
You're wasting the resources and you're wasting your money. Go get somebody else. So I think, and I'm saying this positively, you know, we have to have the right people surrounding Eli. But I think it's going to be more of the same. Now, one of your callers was very frustrated about the delay of game penalties, and I am too, and it's easy to get frustrated over it. But, John, I don't know how many plays they ran from scrimmage. If you run 900 plays from scrimmage in a season, it's probably a lot. You know, I'm just pulling that number out of the air. If you run 900 plays from scrimmage, if you get 10 or 11 delay of game penalties, I understand the frustration factor. But that's probably not all that bad. If you looked around the league, it's probably about that average for every team. I mean, look at Phillip Rivers and how upset he got Sunday on the one delay of game penalty. I mean, if you want a picture of Phillip Rivers, that's Phillip Rivers getting upset like that on the field in front of his team.
Well, yeah, look, I think delay of games is one thing, Len, but I think even when you don't get those delay of games, just seeing the ball snap so many times at 0-1 on the clock and Eli, you know, frantically trying to get everybody lined up to snap a ball on time, I think that can have a negative effect on your team.
You know, that may be one thing that McAdoo and maybe even the guy from Tennessee changes. But I don't see them changing the basic scheme, John. I mean, it may be the play gets in quicker. You know, we tell Eli, you know, we want to snap the ball with 10 seconds left on the, you know, on the play clock, et cetera. However we do, that may be the one thing we can change. But I think the basic scheme is going to remain the same, or else we got the wrong quarterback, John. And we're wasting our, you know, wasting our money. Can I say something about free agency?
Yeah, look, but you know what? I think you can tweak the system and still take advantage of Eli's strengths. I don't think those two are mutually exclusive. You know what I mean?
Well, I know I'll be repeating myself here, but, you know, the tight end is a blocker first in this system, John. This is not a pass catcher. I mean, I'd like Kyle Rudolph, who plays outside a lot of times. I'd like a guy like that. But it's not going to fit in this system, John.
And by the way, I was wrong. By the way, David.
The running backs have to be able to block. I mean, look at some of these teams. I even forget what team this guy was on. The little running back Robinson, who they claim Parcells was raving about.
The Saints.
Yeah, for the Saints. For the Saints. Yeah. I mean, he's not a blocker. He runs the ball, John. And he's a good runner. I'm not knocking that. But in the Giants system, the running backs have to be able to protect Eli. And it's a fullback-oriented system as well. What I mean by that is you have to have a fullback on the field. You're not going to go empty backfield with Eli. I mean, you're not even going to go four wide. How many times did we go four wide? How many times did we see a running back go in motion? I mean, that doesn't fit Eli. Yeah, you can tweak it. I understand what you're saying. I get it. Can I say something about free agency?
Yep.
Okay, Giants free agents. I'm going to pick four guys. Beeson, Tuck, Nix, and who's the fourth guy? Who am I leaving out of this?
Joseph.
Linville Joseph, all right? Who can we least afford? You know, we want to get to 10 wins next year. We want to be 4-2 in the division. We want to make the playoffs, all those kinds of things. We want to turn this thing around. Who can we least afford to lose, John? That if we lose them, it alters free agency. It alters the draft.
By the way, I just did some quick math. They had 7 delayed game penalties last year to the Giants, just FYI. Which guy would they be least afford to lose?
Who alters free agency?
John Beeson.
And the draft.
I think it's
probably
Beeson.
Beeson at the
yeah,
top.
Because,
probably Beeson.
Yeah, because I think if you lose Joseph, I think you can get away with going into next year with Patterson, Hankins, and Jenkins, and Kuhn, I think you'll be okay.
Right.
If you lose Tuck, I mean, I think you probably
have to
bring in another end, but at least you have Kiwanuka and Pierre-Paul to start. DeMonte Moore as your third guy. You can get away with that, and you can use Jenkins at end. And who is the fourth guy?
Nix.
Yeah, and Nix, I think you could either pick up another veteran wide receiver, and you hope that Jernigan and or Randall can step in. So I think the answer there is Beeson. If you lose him, I think you really need to find 2 impact linebackers, not just 1.
Oh, I agree. Given who's on our roster too, I mean, the old thing with Herzlick, he's a great special teams player, and I'm sure he's great in the locker room. But geez, John, we can't have him play middle linebacker. Losing Beeson would really alter everything. So, tell you the truth, I think it's Beeson. I think it's Nix. If Nix leaves, John, it alters our draft. I think it alters our draft.
I think if Nix leaves, you do have to think about drafting a wide receiver. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. So, now again, we're not talking about, and I love all 4 players. I hope they all come back. But, you know, we're not talking about Pro Bowl players here. I mean, if the money isn't right, as we always say, but it may be for a couple of these guys, John, we're going to have to overpay if there is any demand for them out there, if we want to keep them. But I think we got the right order. You know, I think it's Beeson, Nix, Tuck, and Joseph in that order. Hey, John, thanks for the call.
I appreciate it, Len.
We'll talk later in the week. Thank you.
I would put Beeson ahead of Nix myself, and here's the reason why I don't think re-signing Nix is a huge priority. I'm not sure he's a difference maker on the field anymore. Remember, folks, Akeem Nix was on the field all year, except for the Cowboys game. And the offense still stunk. He was part of the problem. Why do you think he's now going to be part of the solution? And I know he was great 2 years ago. He was great 3 years ago. He was great 4 years ago. All that's true. But the last year and a half have been terrible. He's been invisible. He's not getting separation. So, do I think re-signing Nix is a priority? No. Do I think getting in here another wide receiver that can be the player was to be the player Nix was 3 years ago? Yes. Unfortunately, I don't think that's Hakeem Nix. I think that's somebody else. Now, maybe Nix is going to go out there this offseason, work his butt off, and prove me wrong. That is a distinct possibility. But I know what my eyes have seen for the past year and a half. I know what the numbers are. And they both tell you the same thing. Hakeem Nix has not been the same player since he hurt that knee against Tampa Bay last year. Not the same guy. We'll see how many other NFL teams think that as well, and that'll determine what his price is in free agency. 201-939-4513. Steve is in Ohio. Steve, what's going on, buddy?
How much, John? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Steve. What's going on?
Hey, I got a couple questions, but I wanted to start out with a fun fact first.
Bring it.
When I was Christmas shopping back in December, I was getting my daughter a calendar, and they had an NFL rack, so I thought, well, I'll look at the Giants calendar, see who's on the front.
Oh, boy.
You know who was running the ball on the front?
David Wilson.
Linville Joseph.
Get out of here.
Yeah, that fumble recovery.
Oh, boy.
Corey Webster's in the back with a look on his face like, look at the big man run.
That's fantastic. Good story.
With the offensive coordinator, I was wondering, if I was playing a giant chess match with 22 movable pieces on the field, I would want to be able to see the whole field. So I was wondering why the Giants never have an offensive coordinator up top. And do you think that that's Coughlin's call? You know, if they're interviewing a coach and he says, you know, I want to be up in the box, is that the coordinator's call or do you think that's Coughlin's call?
You know what, that's something Thomas said before, that he prefers his guy on the sideline. And, Steve, I think you've heard him say that too. But I don't think that by any means is a deal breaker. I think if the coordinator says, I want to be up in the booth and coach from there, I don't think Tom would say, no, you have to be on the sideline. I don't think that's going to be a deal breaker, to be quite honest with you. And quite frankly, I think Tom is going to have to understand that he's going to have to be open to some change now. Considering how this offense has struggled for a year and a half, he's going to have to be open to some change. And I think Jerry Reese and John Mara are both, to a certain extent, going to push him to implement some change. And if that means an offensive coordinator up in the booth, so be it.
In your opinion, would you think it would help with adjustments?
Honestly, just using my logic, I would want my offensive and defensive coordinators up there in the booth. I think it's calmer. I think you can see more. I think you could be more analytical. I think you have your position coaches down on the field to deal with the players directly. You talk to them. They talk to the players, which is kind of how practice works anyway. So if I was running the show, and thank goodness I'm not, I would want my coordinators up there in the booth because I think they do have a much better view of what's going on, and they would be able to make adjustments easier. But some guys disagree. They prefer to be on the sideline. So to each his own.
Yeah. I got one more quick question.
Sure.
I don't know if you can answer it, but I've asked a few people, and nobody seems to know. They think I'm crazy. But I watched an interview with about Andrew Luck one time before a Stanford game, and he was talking about how important the guy that talks to him through his speaker was. And if he could take him to the NFL with him, he would. And I thought, well, that's weird. And then I was playing a Wii game. My wife got me Madden for Wii.
Nice.
And Eli was getting ready to get sacked, and all of a sudden the remote starts talking to me. It says, get rid of the ball, get rid of the ball. Do you think that happens when a quarterback's getting ready to get blindsided? Do you think somebody comes in and says, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock?
Well, no. You know what? The microphone gets shut off, I believe, with 12 seconds on the play clock, or is it 18 or 15? It might be 15. So once you get to 15 or 12 on that play, I think it is 15 on the play clock, that microphone gets shut off, and you cannot talk to the quarterback again until the play is over and the microphone gets turned back on.
Excellent. I'm glad I asked you that.
Nah, no worries. Appreciate the call, Steve.
Thanks, John.
Hey, have a good one. A couple tweets. I wish I didn't waste the time and count up all the delay game penalties. Carl Martinez had the stat. They ran the Giants ran 988 plays, 27th most in the NFL. That goes to them not running plays very quickly, and they had the sixth most delay of game penalties with 7. I had that number right at least. So that obviously not a very good number. At Giants Gab, the pre-snap allows the defense to totally dictate what we do, and they game the system. I'm telling you, they figured it out, but you know the Giants kind of just back on that. Let's see what we have here. Jason Forbes at Giants Gab, do you think Beckham is better than Myers? No, I think Brandon Myers is a much better player than Travis Beckham, mostly because he was actually healthy enough to play. That was part of the problem with Travis Beckham, folks. Dude was always hurt. And by the way, that was the same problem with Gerald Jernigan his first 2 years here, too. One of the reasons he could never get on the field. He was always hurt. Another reason Ramsey's Barden could never sustain any good play. Do you know why? He played a good game. Bam. Got hurt. Again and again and again and again. It's the same story. And Mike Farr makes the point. If you don't bring back Nix, the Giants must sign at the very least a number 1-2 wide receiver, preferably a 1. Those can get pricey. And, Mike, I don't disagree. That can get pricey. But Akeem Nix might be pricey, too. So I think they're in a tough spot. But you're right. They need to get another wide receiver to beat outside coverage. Because if teams continue to double-team Victor Cruz, he doesn't have the size to beat those double teams like a Calvin Johnson does. They need somebody else to beat one-on-one coverage. And right now, they don't have him. They really don't. But we'll see what the market is on Akeem Nix. Maybe you can bring him back at a reduced rate. I don't know. Maybe he can get better. I don't know. But it's a risk. If you bring him back here at big-time money, it's a huge risk. 201-939-4513, and I still think he's out the door. That's my opinion. Steve's in Washington, D.C. Steve, good morning.
Hey, what's happening, John?
What's up, bud?
Man, you got some great callers today, man. I don't know if I can compete with these dudes, man. First of all, I want to give a big shout-out to Shakes. Glad to hear he's alive and doing well. And, of course, my man Len made some really good points. You know, I agree with just mostly everything Len said, but you know, I really feel like, first of all, I don't think, you know I'm a Will Hill guy. First of all, I made no qualms. You know, I'm a Gator alumni, Florida alumni. But I just think that Will Hill has had just as big of an impact on our defense as John Beeson. I mean, you can't really, you know, tell me anything different. I mean, I know a lot of people don't really think that, but I think the guy has made a huge impact.
Well, Steve, I'll say this. I think in terms of quality of play, I think Will Hill has impacted his defense, but I think once you take in consideration the leadership factor and being that voice in the middle of the defense between tuck and between roll, I think Beeson's impact is larger because of that other stuff beyond his play on the field. You know what I mean?
I agree. I absolutely agree with you. No doubt about it. His leadership, you can't really put, you know, anyway, yeah, I definitely agree with that. But, and I hope we bring him back, but under the right amount of, you know, under his contract anyhow. But, you know, what I really want, you know, I'm glad, you know, I know some people saying, you know, Perry, we should need to switch defensive coordinators. I don't agree with that, you know. And I think Tom Coughlin has a pretty big say on how aggressive we are as a defense. So I'm glad Perry Fuel's, you know, going to still be here. And especially not be here in Washington, D.C. These guys are looking real sad after they find out who the head coach is going to be. But I want to add a couple questions for you. First of all, you know, let me read one more statement. First of all, I heard rumor that Chris Knee is coming back. Is that correct?
Honestly, I haven't heard things either way. I saw that rumor, too, that was out there. But Chris Knee hasn't said anything. And quite frankly, my gut feeling, and if I had to guess, I still think he retires.
Listen, I mean, I love what the guy has brought to his team. I mean, he's been a heck of a leader and a good player for a long time, but I think it's time. So I really, personally, I don't think we can afford to have any big, huge question marks, especially when it comes to health on our offensive line. I think we can all agree that we need to bolster our offensive line going into this next year, which is, you know, a pretty big concern for me, guys. I know you kind of went on about Nix is having a down year for the last couple of years. Well, so has Eli. And I think they go hand in hand along with the offensive line play and the play calling. But I feel like, and to me, I feel like Knicks can have a better chance of being the old Knicks than Eli does being the old Eli. I just, you know, still hopeful. And I'm saying we should trade him, anything like that. I don't want to extend him. I don't want to extend Eli, but I just really feel like Eli has just as much to prove as Knicks.
Steve, I agree. I think he does. However, here's why I think Eli has a better chance of bouncing back. I think physically, Eli is fine. I think Akeem Nicks might have something physically wrong with him that's taken away his explosiveness, and I don't know how you fix that.
I think with just him not really feeling like, you know, nobody was in sync. I understand, like, it was just too much going on with the quarterback and the receivers, or not just Nicks, but the receivers all together. But I really feel like, you know, and I'm hopeful that you know, maybe it's possible he could have been trying to avoid an injury with the series, you know, looking for towards free agency. I think maybe he didn't really go for the balls that we've seen him go for in the past. Probably fearing, you know, injury. And, I mean, listen, we don't like it as fans, but, you know, these are these guys' livelihoods. So, you know, not making excuses for the guy, but you have to take that into consideration as well. Not to mention, you know, this wasn't a lot of good placed balls thrown his way. So, I think the guy has given us enough that, you know, he's worth a risk, and I'm not saying, and I have no idea how much. Maybe, you know, I always say a dollar more than Nick Cruz, because I do think he's more viable than Cruz. I think our slot position is our slot position. I think Jernigan has shown that without the way our system is, most players can be successful. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Cruz, because I think he's a great player, but I think that slot position is far different than the wideout position. So I understand I'm going to have two quick questions, and I'll get off, because I know I'd like to run my mouth. So number one is, do you think where we'll get a tight end is it free agency or in the draft? And linebacker, I hear a lot of talk about this kid from Alabama, so I want to know what your opinion is on him. And you still never asked one last question. You never got the stat on how many balls we actually threw in the end zone. I really want to know that stat, because, you know, I think that says a lot about our season. And the last thing I want to say is I think Joseph will be a much bigger loss than Justin Tuck. So that's all I have for today, guys. And I'm looking forward to us bringing a good center in, too, because I think that will really help our line. So,
all right, thanks, Steve.
I'll listen off air. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. One, I'm not sure how I'm going to find that stat. I'll try, Steve, but that's a tough one. Maybe red zone pass attempts I might be able to find somewhere, but I can't guarantee you those are going in the end zone. I can find split run pass in the red zone. That's probably the best I can do. Beyond that, it's going to be tough. Now, what were Steve's two questions? I'm already halfway forgetting them. Tight end, does he think draft or free agency? There's not a ton of guys in free agency. Jimmy Graham is not a blocker, and he's going to cost too much money. And then you have Greg Olsen, who I think if you're going to bring in a tight end that's a free agent that can do a lot of both and can be a dynamic playmaker, I think Olsen's your guy. But I believe he stays in Carolina and stays with Cam Newton. Chandler, the guy from Buffalo, is a guy that can block and do a little bit of both. He's been here before. Maybe that's what the Giants bring in. And back to his slot point and the outside receiver. In Gilbride's system, the key to the whole offense is that X wide receiver position where Burris played and then Nicks played. And it's no surprise that the entire offense began to sputter when that X position was not a dynamic playmaker. So you're right. You need somebody in that spot to become that guy. I don't think Ruben Randle showed enough this season for the Giants to put their eggs in his basket, unfortunately. And maybe that means they're going to have to draft a wide receiver high in this draft in the first or second round if they can't find one in free agency worth the money. I think that's a possibility. 201-939-4513. I think Steve had a second question. I don't remember what it was. You got anything? Oh, linebacker. Yes, in the draft. The Alabama linebacker. I mean, the Giants haven't drafted a linebacker in the first round for so long. If they don't bring back Beeson, I think drafting a linebacker in the first round becomes much more likely. I think if they bring back Beeson and they have their Mike, they have their middle linebacker, I don't think they'll spend the first round pick on an outside linebacker, Sam or Will. That's my gut feeling. I don't think they would. But with no linebackers at all and Beeson not re-signed, I think that's a possibility. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, most of the linebackers projected in that first round are outside guys. And a couple of 3-4 pass rushers, which sometimes it might be tough converting them to a traditional 4-3 outside linebacker. We have three calls on the board. We're going to get to them, then we're going to say bye-bye. Let's go to Dave in Virginia first. Dave, what's going on?
What's up to me?
Yes, Dave, what's up?
I'm sorry, this is Big D, Lynchburg, Virginia, man.
Big D. What's up, Big D?
Hey, Lance, I called y'all one time before, like a while ago, but...
This is John, Big D. It's okay, though.
John, my bad.
That's all right, no worries.
Hey, John, just want you to know, man, you and Lance is the football gurus to me, man. I love y'all to death. I appreciate everything y'all do, man. Everything y'all say on this, but I take y'all words, I love it.
Thank you for listening, Big D.
Man, I can't help this. I got to listen. This is my team, man, my big blue. But, John, I'm glad the excitement that's about to go on right now in New York. I know it's about to be some big changes going on. I just want to know, man, Eli need to get his stuff together, man. He do. Eli throw it too high. Eli need to start running the ball a little bit, running the ball just a little bit more, man. And that's what I really wanted to say, man. I appreciate everything, man. Eli needs to get better. It starts with him, too, besides the offensive line, man. It starts with him, too.
Big D, I'm with you. And look, you can help all these things around them. That's great. But Eli still's got to play better. And you can have a new offensive coordinator. You can have a good offensive line. Eli's play must improve. Now, those other things should help him. But he was inaccurate last year. He made some bad decisions. And he has to get better.
You right about that, Lance. Man, Lance, I love my big blue. I'm from New York City, from Rockaway, Queens,
nice.
And East New York, Brooklyn. You know what I mean? That's where I'm from. I die hard big blue, man. I just want my team to get better. I hope they do better, man.
Thanks, Big
D. That's all I got to say, Lance, man. Thank you so much
appreciate
for taking my call,
it.
Man.
All right, Big
appreciate
D.
Appreciate you, too.
Thanks, all right. man. All right, Big D, take it easy. East New York. Tell you what, East New York, that's one of the roughest neighborhoods, not in New York, in the country. Good to hear from Big D. I haven't talked to Big D before, I don't think. Maybe he called up Anita and Paul during the week, during the season. But anybody from Brooklyn, even though he doesn't know my name, it's all good. We love Big D. Anybody from Brooklyn, I'm all for. Let's go to Aaron in Rochester. Aaron, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? I love listening to y'all all the time. I'm from Brooklyn, but I live in Rochester, so just to let you know.
Where in Brooklyn, Aaron?
Crown Heights.
Crown Heights. Nice.
Yes, but I had two questions. One is, did we get closer to seeing who's going to be our coordinator? Like, will we hear some this week? And my second one is, is Larry Fitzgerald a free agent? And if he is, would you think the Giants would go after him? I think that would be a nice pickup if we do lose Hakeem Nicks.
Larry Fitzgerald, and I will double check it as far as I know, is not a free agent, but I think that's the type of wide receiver, a bigger guy to play that X position is the type of guy that you're looking for. But no, Larry Fitzgerald, as far as I can tell, and I'm bringing up his contract details as we speak, he is signed through 2017. So 2018, actually. So no, Larry Fitzgerald will not be available anytime soon. And Aaron, what was your first question? I'm sorry.
Did we get any closer to figuring out who's our offensive coordinator? Like, will we hear something this week?
I think we'll know by the end of the week. That's my gut feeling. Maybe they'll bring in some more people this week. If they will, I haven't heard about it. But I think now that they've talked to four different guys, and those are their top candidates, I'm sure. I think by the end of the week, we'll probably have an answer.
All right, guys. Thank you for taking my call, and I wish y'all, I thank y'all for everything y'all done. Go Blue, Big Blue. Thank you.
Well, Aaron, to you and Big D as well, and all the other listeners, we cannot do without you guys. We appreciate you listening and calling in. Thanks so much, and you guys have done a good job this whole show. We've had a great group of calls, really, a lot of great points. And to wrap it up, we'll go to Andrew in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, is this you, or do we have you, Andrew Sr., with you today as well? Andrew.
Yes, sorry. I fumbled the snap. But
right. Delay a game on Andrew. 5-yard penalty. It's all right.
Shakes is back. He's the Beeson of the show.
He is.
I was worried after the Chicago game. I think that brought everyone down. But Maris said that the team was good, the roster, and people laughed at him. But if you think about the injuries, when he made that statement before all the injuries, Dan Connor from Dallas and all the linebackers. And Aaron Curry, Beeson is like, Shakes is Aaron Curry, so it didn't work out for Aaron Curry, but Beeson. So if you think about the injuries, you had the center, then all the running backs. So it was a better roster to go into the season. And a lot of the writers were saying 0-6. You know, like, you are what your record is, 0-6. But they were also 7-3, and they could have easily won the Chicago, Dallas, and the Eagles game.
Yeah, but Andrew, what I'll say this, too. You talk about how injuries hurt the team, and it certainly did. I think the one stat that Rich Gosselin had, they're the third most injured team in the league and the most in the division. But of the guys that were healthy and played, the guys you were counting on didn't get it done. Eli had a bad year.
Right.
Jason Pierre-Paul had a bad year. Hakeem Nicks had a bad year. Mathias Kiwanuka had a bad year. Brandon Myers didn't give you that two-way production you thought he might have been able to give you. So even the guys that were healthy didn't do the job you needed them to do. And you can throw Will Beatty into that mix too, by the way. Your big money left tackle, he didn't play well. So those are some of your highest paid best players, and they all had bad years. It's hard to win when that happens.
And that's a surprise too, because the injuries you know, happen often, and but it's a surprise. But just a quick question. If Beeson was signed in the offseason last year, what do you think the record would have been if they had him from day one and he was in training camp?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, they turned it over so much in those first two games against Dallas and Denver, so I'm not sure his presence would have mattered a whole lot in those games. And they only scored 7 combined points against Carolina and Kansas City. I think maybe they would have started the season 2-4 instead of 0-6. Maybe they could have beaten Philadelphia or Chicago. And one more win against one of those two games, especially if it was against Philadelphia, really could have made all the difference.
Right. They would have probably at least had a chance at the end.
Right.
Not that they would have made the playoffs.
Right.
And I'll put my father on. He has a good choice for offensive coordinator.
What do you got?
But
Andrew,
I want to say, I was listening to the show yesterday, and I didn't think you don't understand the theory that the caller asked about a coordinator, Wisenhunt, and you were saying, well, why would he want to be a coordinator when he could be a head coach? And I would use the analogy of Eli and Roethlisberger. The chances of Eli and Roethlisberger, two top quarterbacks, going to the Steelers and the Giants is like, you know, 1 in 1,000. That probably will only happen once every 40 or 50 years, where two premier organizations have the top two picks in the draft. So what does that have to do with the coordinator? It's like, well, usually coaches go to bad teams like the Redskins, shady organizations, because they fire the coach, or the Jets, they rotate through coaches. And it's not the norm that you have a really good coach and a great organization, and the good coach is going to retire. So that's the difference with Coughlin going to, you know, retire in a couple of years. So a coach like Wisenhunt, if he goes to the 49ers, the coach is not going to retire. He's going to be there for a decade or more. So he's got no shot until he goes to another team, but the team that he goes to could be a bad team. But on that note, I'll switch over. And Incognito, I just want to ask about him. He's a guard. Maybe we could sign him.
Not him, but somebody that plays like him. A good road grader, blue-collar offensive lineman. Andrew Senior, what do you got for me?
Here he goes.
Good morning.
How are you, Andrew Senior?
Okay, listen.
Yep.
What's happening with Maurice Carthon? Is he still in football anyway or other?
You know what? That's a great question. He bounced around a lot after he left Dallas. He went over to
He was a head coach. Detroit, was it?
Yeah, he was in Detroit, too. I believe Maurice Carthon. Let me see. He was with the Kansas City Chiefs until Andy Reid took over. And as far as I can tell, he did not pick up with another team after he left the Chiefs last year. So I don't see him on a roster. I'll keep looking, but I believe he is available as we speak.
I think he would be a great offensive coordinator. He's a team player also, and that to me is important.
They
work with Parcells, which is to me is pretty important too. And Belichick.
That is all true, and you know he coached with Parcells in Dallas, and I think you know what? It's funny. No one's brought up Maurice Carthon. I think it's an interesting name, and he certainly runs similar but a little bit of a different type of system than Tom Coughlin. That's not a bad name. I want to look into it and see what else Maurice Carthon has been doing since he got let go by the Chiefs, but I can't seem to find them on a roster. Maybe our buddies on Twitter can help me out a little bit here if Maurice Carthon has jumped on elsewhere. Thanks for the call, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Good to hear from both Andrews in Stanhope, New Jersey. Good callers. Salmon, do you know Carthon anywhere? I haven't seen him on any rosters this year. At I Believe Blue 10, why do you keep saying Ruben Randall didn't prove enough this season when clearly he led our receivers in touchdowns? Stop it. Well, it's great to lead the receivers in touchdowns. Guess which wide receiver Eli Manning threw the most interceptions when he was targeting? It was Ruben Randall. And by the way, it wasn't even close. It was almost double digits, if I'm not mistaken. If not double digits completely. And he had a lot of drops. He had a lot of miscommunications. And please, tell me what Ruben Randall did from November 10th to the end of the year. Let me bring up his game log for you. Let's bring it up. La-di-da. Ruben Randall game log. Here's Ruben Randall game by game this year for the Giants. I'm going to start after the bye week with Oakland. 3 catches, 50 yards. 3 catches, 37 yards. 7 for 64. I take that back. 3 for 64 on 7 targets. 3 for 20. 2 for 27. 0. 4 for 40 on 9 targets. And then he was hurt that last game and didn't play. So all in all, he had 41 catches. But it took 80 targets to get those 41 catches. 80 targets to get 41 catches. That is a terrible number. A bad percentage. 611 yards, it's fine. 14.9 yard average, that's fine. And he had 6 touchdowns. But 0 touchdowns the final 6 games. 0. And 0 the first 4 games. So he had all those touchdowns in that span in the middle of the season between October 6th and November 17th. Between that first Philly game and the Green Bay game. So, no, I don't think Ruben Randall did enough to show he could be the number one wide receiver. Do you know why? The offense stunk when he was in there, too, as the number three guy. If he can't handle being the third guy, how is he going to handle being the number one guy? That's my point on Ruben Randall. Doug Borington, is there anyone on the current staff that has a chance to be promoted to the offensive coordinator? Will it be fresh blood? I think it's fresh blood. If you're going to make some changes here, make some changes, and no one else on the offensive staff, except for Pat Flaherty, in my opinion, really, I think, has enough experience to be an offensive coordinator in this league. In this league, excuse me. Bob Karpowitz, in reality, with all the needs the Giants have, will it really be filled in 1 year, or are we looking at a couple years? Now, that's a good question. We've talked about a lot of the spots the Giants need to fill. I'm not sure they can fill all the spots in 1 year, unless you nail every one of your draft picks. You have to hit them. If you want to fill every need this offseason, you have to hit on every free agent, you have to hit on every draft pick, and you hope no one else gets hurt. But it's not going to be easy. Bob, that's a great point. Tom, Linval Joseph plays hard. This is at GoToWR80. He plays hard and produces, so we have to try to hard to keep him. Look, I love Joseph a player, I agree, but I think the Giants think Hankins can match that and give him what Linval Joseph gave him. That's just my opinion. Mike Farmer, I believe this is Randall, also led team in wide receiver round miscues as well. He is talent, but not good enough to be one or two. I made the point. Ah, and Giants Gab agrees. He's no Manningham. So I think we're on the same page there. Everybody, awesome job on the phones. I cannot say enough. We're in the third week of our offseason. I've had a full bank of calls every single show. You guys are the best. Keep it up. We'll talk Giants all offseason long. I'm solo the next 2 days. Lance is back on Friday. I'll try to have Tom Rock at some point join us this week from Newsday to talk about the offensive coordinator search. Heck, maybe we'll know who it's going to be and we have somebody new to talk about. Wouldn't that be fantastic? And we'll see. Maybe we can even get him on the show. We'll see if we can work that one out too. Everybody, excellent work. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow at 9:30 on Giants.com. Be there.